You're listening to the Wally Show podcast. You can hear the live version every weekday morning through the WayFM app or following along with us at wayfm.com/Wally.
The Wally Show podcast is brought to you by Colorado Christian University Online, where Wally teaches and where you can earn a degree online just like Betty Rock. You can learn more at ccu.edu/Wally. This podcast is also brought to you by United Faith Mortgage. Let their direct lender advantage save you time and money.
Uplifting WayFM.
Here's what's going on today.
Flight attendants have one of the most difficult jobs. Constantly, you're seeing them having to de-escalate situations where someone is mad at someone else. The reason for a fight breaking out can be numerous. We don't know the reason, but one of those being reclined seating. So if you think about it, sometimes when you get on a flight, let's say the seatbelt sign has gone off and the person in front of you reclines, but you were on your little desk thing, the little tray area pull out, moves your computer closer to you.
Yeah, now it's harder to see.
Yeah, and you feel like they're taking up your space. So some people can get antsy about that.
And it's not your space because it's set to recline. So it is their space. Right. I try to be a human and not recline mine all the way back. I'll do a little half recline just to give myself a little bit of a break. Yeah. But it is your right to recline it all the way back, even though you might not like it.
Try to explain that to someone who should know that, but right, they are like throwing fists and throwing hands. And you just want anything to de-escalate the situation. And sadly, as grown-ups, we've done this to ourselves. So that is why the airline industry is now taking away our option to recline our seating.
Okay.
Yes. Not only is it because it starts fights, but because to maintain the button option, because we don't treat it right, kind of like a rent-a-car.
Yeah.
It costs them a lot of money to have to maintain them, but also the mechanism, it adds weight to the air flight.
I had a flight delayed, and it was going across it was an international flight, and it was delayed because they were fixing an armrest, and they couldn't take off because the seat wouldn't go to its upright position. It would just stay reclined, and they were trying to fix it. They've got the seat all torn apart. I'm looking at my watch going, this is not good. And then they finally just bagged the seat and moved the person somewhere else because they couldn't fix it in time to get the plane going. So what's the solution?
So here's the solution, because there is a positive spin, because I was worried thinking, I hate when I get on a flight and I have to sit how it is. It's just not comfortable if I don't recline. They're now going to have pre-reclined seats.
Okay.
So what this is the option will take away from, it won't take away from a passenger's already limited space, because the seat in front of them will be reclined already, as well as their seat will be reclined already. It's also going to cost the airline less to maintain, because there's no button for us to abuse.
That's great.
And so they don't have to constantly delay flights to have to fix things.
So that means the airline is going to save money, and then they'll pass those savings on to the consumer with cheaper airfares or cheaper bag fees. That's fantastic news. That's the best news I've heard forever.
Assuming a lot.
Oh, they're just going to make more money. That's what they'll do. Okay, well, thank you. No, I think this is a good idea. Anything that can alleviate people being angry, because if there's no option to recline the seat, there's not a fight.
Right.
So that's good, because people lose their minds on flights.
Yeah, that's putting it lightly.
They act the fool. They act in ways they wouldn't act normally. You know, for some reason, it's a stressful situation. So I actually think this is a good idea.
I do, too.
So there you go. Look for that on your next flight, not being able to recline. But, hey, everyone's in the same boat, so we'll all be happy. Or miserable. One of the two. Uplifting WayFM. This is the Wally Show. And good news for you, bad news for my feed. I came across an article today that says that the Lululemon fanny pack that was in such high demand that like people were like, this is great, I gotta get this. And because it's a fanny pack for some reason, I mean, it doesn't do anything special. It literally holds your keys in your wallet, mm-hmm, and it's black, mm-hmm, but it's got the Lululemon logo on it.
See, that's what people are paying for. They're paying for the logo. They're not paying for the fanny pack.
And the fact that this was the most reasonably priced thing they had in the entire store at $38, I think that's what sold it. Because when you're looking at leggings that are about a nickel to make and they're charging you $120 for them.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, Lululemon's, how do I know this and you don't?
I don't know.
I know. Like, so Lululemon lemon stuff is super expensive.
I knew it was expensive, but I didn't know how expensive.
Now, they say the quality's good. I will give you that. They say the quality's good, but the leggings for 100 and something bucks,
no.
There's no way I could. But the fanny pack is back in stock.
Woo.
And the reason why it's bad for my feed is I clicked on it to make sure I wasn't telling you errantly. Mm-hmm. And, now it's all in my feed.
Because they think you're interested.
They think I'm into Lululemon for some reason.
The government was listening.
Yeah, and so you can only purchase up to 5. They're really good at doing this. They create demand and they by scarcity. Well, mm-hmm. You can only get 5. Sorry, you can only get 5. Well, I really only wanted to buy 1, but now that you've said I can only buy 5, I want 10.
Right.
You know, like it's so smart.
Yeah, it is.
So anyhow, you can do that if you've been waiting for one. But what it makes me think about, though, because we mentioned the quality. Is there something, because I mean, you overpay for some things for sure, you know, but is there something that you paid a lot of money for that you're like, you know what? It was absolutely worth it. There is a difference between this and something that doesn't cost you as much,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I will usually opt for the cheaper brand of something.
But if you compare Lucky Charms to like Lucky Charms cereal to
fantastic
Marshmallow Heaven or whatever, there is a big difference. You definitely want the Lucky Charms brand.
Yeah, there are some things that it is worth spending the extra money on to get the name brand. I'm curious, what is yours? 855-33-WAY-FM. We love having you on the show. That's how you can get right through. 855-33-WAY-FM. What is that thing that you're like, call me crazy, don't care. It's worth the money. A t-shirt that holds your gut in. Right now, for a guy, I'm thinking they were expensive. But now,
you'd be like, give me 2. Give me 5.
I might need to wear them all at the same time. 855-33-WAY-FM. What is that thing, Jamie, that you paid more money for, but you're like, it was totally worth it?
So it's bionic shoes for women. I'm a teacher, and I stand on my feet all day. These shoes are $120, and they're the best shoes I've ever worn.
What is a bionic shoe? It sounds like something from the future.
No, it's bionic, and it has this special insert in it. And the trick is, once you buy a pair, you can pull that insert out and put it in a different pair of shoes, and they're also comfortable.
Oh, okay. Kind of like insoles.
Well, almost kind of like the updated orthopedic shoe.
Yeah, exactly.
Except it doesn't look orthopedic at all.
Yeah. Do you realize you're wearing orthopedic shoes there, Jamie?
Exactly. And proud of it.
All right, Annabelle, you're up. What is that thing that you have no problem splurging on?
Charmin toilet paper.
I get that.
It is so worth it because the cheap toilet paper just is not worth it in the end. Pun intended, I guess.
Yes. So, Cindy, what's that for you?
For me, it's kids.
Yes, kids are super expensive, but kind of worth it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're never ready to have them before you do because you're like, I don't know, I don't have enough money, I don't have this, I don't have that. But, man, once they're out, you know, they pop out and you're just like, your heart is all of a sudden outside your body and you're just like, I'll sell everything I have. It doesn't matter.
I'm an only child and my parents had always said that they would get me a sibling once they felt like they were more on their feet. But as you can tell, they never felt like they were back on
yeah,
their feet.
You have expensive taste.
I guess I do.
Betty Rock ain't going to the Huddle House. She's going to Waffle House.
There you go. There is a difference there, okay? So if we're going to talk about spending money on something, it's definitely the Waffle House over the Huddle House.
Absolutely. I don't know what Huddle House was thinking. Well, hey, Cindy, thanks for being on with us today.
You're welcome, honey. Have a good day.
What is something that you are not afraid to splurge on?
It's water for me.
Okay. Now, a lot of people would call you crazy because they're like, it's just water. But I think water has different tastes. Dasani is horrible. It tastes like petroleum.
Yes, that is so true.
Okay, but I need to interrupt here, Rena, because I'm sure you're a professional water taster, whereas Wally acts like he is, but he is not, because he just puts a lot of sugary powder into his water. You can't tell the difference.
That's why I started doing it, because water is so bad, and I couldn't get a good glass of water that I just really liked. And you know that. So what is the water you go with, Rena?
I prefer Fiji water.
Fiji water is the one that comes in the square, bottles. That's expensive. It looks expensive.
Right. So, you know, you just pay a little bit more money just to get good quality water.
What do you do when you go out to eat? Do you not order water?
I do not.
I respect you. I do. Like, you're a woman of conviction.
And then I always have water in my car, in my bag, because it just tastes so much better.
If I were your friends, though, what I would be doing is I would buy my own bottle of Fiji water, pour it out, fill it with tap water, and then I would keep switching it on you to see
terrible.
If you... I know, but I would love to see if you actually knew.
You can tell the difference.
Yeah, that's what Wally said about Coke, but we taste tested him on this, so you can see it actually if you text the word Coke to 91979. We wanted to see if he could tell the difference between Cokes, and he failed miserably.
I think that's a fair statement. yeah, like I thought I could. Now, the one thing that I said I could always tell McDonald's Coke from everything else because it is my favorite. I did get that right. The humiliating part was I called a Pepsi a Coke, which I literally should lose my Coke card for that, you know? So if you want to see it, what do you got to text?
Text Coke to 91979.
All right.
Coffee shops, poolside, back porch, picnic table at the park, at your kid's soccer practice. Just about anywhere can be your classroom when you decide to go back to school online at Colorado Christian University.
I know I got my degree online, and I actually did a homework at a campsite. I was sitting around a campfire writing a paper. That is where I did some of my work that weekend. So life doesn't have to stop just because you go back to school to better yourself. You can work towards this future and this goal that you want to accomplish, and it doesn't have to totally consume you or derail your normal life with friends, your family, or what have you.
And you can earn accredited degrees from Colorado Christian without ever setting foot on campus.
So there really shouldn't be an excuse to not going back to school. If it's something you really want to do, you can do it. And all you have to do is go to ccu.edu/Wally to learn more. And the other really important thing is that Colorado Christian is committed to cultivating the mind without compromising the heart. So check it out, ccu.edu/Wally.
If it's important to your family,
we have something very exciting to tell you that you have never heard before.
Then it matters to us on The Wally Show.
If you have a teenager, you're probably pretty aware of how much time they spend on social media and how important it is to them. And while there is some good that comes from it, I think most of us as parents would agree that the damaging effects of social media far outweigh the benefits. Mm-hmm. And we're not the only ones. Seattle Public School District thinks the same thing. Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, they took them on in an effort to hold the companies accountable for the harm they have wreaked on the social and emotional mental health of its students. So they're actually suing them.
Oh.
Yeah, like taking it to court.
Okay, I do get where they're coming from, but sad, I think we all would say, well, it's the parents' job to monitor what your kids are doing. And okay. I agree, but I also think that there are more broken homes than ever has right. been. And so when there's broken homes, it's hard for that communication to be open for these children to go to their parents and say, hey, I'm dealing with this and this right. is bothering me.
Well, the lawsuit accuses all of these social media companies of operating their platforms in a way to exploit the psychology and neurophysiology, which I don't even know what that is, of their users and spending more time on their platforms. It claims that their techniques are both successful, and to which Zuckerberg went, sweet, in my hoodie, but harmful to youth and the audience. And so the social media giants have all pushed back saying, we want teens to be safe online. We developed 30 tools to support teens and families, and they each had their own reasons for how they do this. There's a documentary, I think it's called The Social Contract, and it was interesting where it was about social media and kids, and a lot of the people they interviewed worked at or still work at different social media companies, and his parents are like, I don't want my kids on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they do not allow their own kids to.
Wow.
There's a little bit of hypocrisy to be on the platforms of the things that they are, you know, working on actively.
And that says a lot. Like, if you're working for a company and you know what's going on behind the scenes and you don't even want your children to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Oof.
I mean, Betty alluded to this, you know, earlier. At the end of the day, it's not up to Meta to protect your kid. It's not up to Instagram or Google to make your kid feel loved. That's our job as parents. But social media has made that harder. I mean, it absolutely has. But there's no filter that can better protect a child than an involved parent.
Mm-hmm.
But again, yeah, it's hard. It takes mm-hmm. a lot of work, and it's hard when your kids are like, why can't I? Everyone else of my friends are, and you have to say, no,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Or their friends all have smartphones, and you're like, you're 11 years old. You don't need a smartphone. Like, that takes a lot of responsibility to own a smartphone, because once you open that, it opens them to everything.
You have to do it. I think you have to do social media with kids in stages, you know, and limited freedoms with it and be super involved with it so that it can be a good thing for them. And the minute it gets unhealthy and there's cyberbullying and all this stuff, you got to shut it down. You just have to for the sake of your own child. So there you go. We'll see how this lawsuit ends up shaking out and if it actually does make a difference or make any changes. Way FM, this is The Wally Show. And this last year, Betty Rock made a commitment to read through the entire Bible. And she did it, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I did. It was a New Year's resolution, and I lived up to it, and I actually did it. But it was nice to have a friend with me to do it because it kind of keeps you responsible.
So she wanted to kind of go back through again and do more of it. And she was telling me about this Bible app that she found to help her memorize Bible verses, which is a good idea.
Yeah, and I was excited about it because I was like, this will probably help me. Because how do you memorize a verse? It's so hard to do. I mean, you think it's in a different language sometimes, depending on what version you're going with. But also, how do you just keep saying it over and over and over? Is that how you memorize it? But I thought with an app, it'll be easier. Well, it might be, but I'll never know because every feature that I clicked on, it said, you have to join and you have to pay this monthly fee.
Yeah.
It said, update now. I'm like, no, I just want the free version. Well, with the free version, you get nothing.
Yeah, this is, if Jesus were here today, he'd flip over that app. Because that's what he did. The money changers at the temple. Yeah. He's like, no.
Yeah.
And so, that's kind of lame. But it did make me think about this, though, because it is kind of tricky sometimes as an adult to memorize verses, but it's really good to have that stuff because when trials come and things hit us, when you filled your soul with that, that's what will come out instead of some of the anger and other things that we put in our hearts, And so I am curious, what is the last memory verse you memorized, the last Bible verse you memorized, and why? What was the reason? I got to commit this to memory. I'm going through this. This brings me peace or help or whatever. So we'd love to know that. 855-33-WAY-FM. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. What's your last memory verse that you memorized and why? And so, Carla, what is the last Bible verse you memorized and why?
I memorized all of Psalm 107.
Whoa. How did you do that?
I said it a lot of times, and I made my family a little crazy. I was leading a women's retreat on our stories, and Psalm 107 has the verse that says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. So I just went crazy the week before the retreat and decided it would be more powerful if I could just recite the whole chapter.
And a little showy. No.
How does it begin?
I know. So I could tell you a lot of it. This was more than a year ago now. So I could start with the second verse. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those he gathered from the lands, from the east and west, from the north and south.
Betty Rock, will you look up Psalm 107 and see if the first verse is necessary?
Oh,
is it something we're missing?
I mean, it's one of those.
It only says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Oh, that's kind of important. I think Chris Tomlin made a song about it. So, we'll add that one back in.
It says it in there a bunch of times the rest of the chapter. I would have gotten around to that.
You're right, Carla. You're right.
I love that we're throwing shade at Carla, and she's actually done something.
Yeah, and we've done nothing.
Yeah, so nicely done, Carla. You're the best.
Oh, thank you.
What is the last Bible verse you memorized and why?
My husband and I just found out that we're pregnant, and I have been extremely sick every day. And I memorized the verse from 2 Corinthians 12:9 and just whispered to myself, literally while throwing up morning sickness, his grace is sufficient and his power is made perfect of my weakness.
Well, and also too, when the child is here and that child is pushing your patience, you might need to recite it again.
Yes.
Well, that's a good point. And my friend also encouraged me with Hebrews 12 and talks about for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. There's life coming, so it might feel like death right now, but the joy set before you, endure. Just endure.
There you go. That is the best description of morning sickness. It feels like death right now. Claire, hopefully that morning sickness time will be short-lived for you, and you will get to the good stuff here soon.
Thank you so much. God bless.
Catherine, what was the last Bible verse you memorized and why?
Well, I'm actually calling about the first one I ever memorized in 1985. So I was at a Christian retreat for Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church. And so it's not this happy-go-lucky verse. It's Romans 1:18.
If you learned this in Sunday school, it'd be great if there was a song with it.
We did do a song. Yeah, Romans 1:18. You want me to sing it first or say it first?
No, we want you to sing
absolutely,
it, obviously.
Because then we'll remember it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here goes. So the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Romans 1:18.
Wow.
It's so funny. It's a little ironic because the verse is so
heavy.
Know, heavy. Yeah. But then the tune is so uplifting.
But the wrath of God is so much fun. It's going to come down and smite everyone. Like, God, that's good stuff.
And it's awesome to see how 37 something years ago, the reason that you are able to memorize that verse is because it was put to a song. And that song has stuck with you through all of these years.
I know the Ten Commandments because of the Mercy Me song. They actually had told some friends of mine who were doing a cartoon that they would do a song for them, and Bart kind of forgot about it and actually wrote this song on the way from the airport to the studio to then record it. But, you know, what took him a couple minutes is stuck with me. Here, check this out. It might help you remember the Ten Commandments as well, or help your kids out.
And the Lord said, have no other gods but God to worship. Idols just won't. Be careful with the way you use God's name and keep Sunday special too. Honor your parents, don't take any lives, and when you're old enough to marry, be true. Do not steal or lie or want those things that don't belong to you. These are 10 simple rules God gave to me.
Uplifting WayFM.
Stories that
accentuate the positive.
It's the Wally Show.
What you got, Gavin?
I think that everyone would agree that life is a lot better when you are living harmoniously with your friends and family. I know that most of us in this room avoid conflict.
Why do you say most of us and look at me? I don't like conflict.
No,
I'm just
not
afraid of it.
No, you're not. And it's a big thing. And you say that within your circle, you value the peace that
absolutely
people have.
I fear my wife. And so, like, I
as we all should.
Zero conflict.
But according to this one article that I read, there is actually a formula that they've put forth that might contain the secret to happy relationships, whether it's with your friends, maybe coworkers, your spouse, and they call it the 5-to-1 ratio. So basically, for every one negative interaction that you have with somebody, you need 5 positive ones. I guess
a lot of work
to outweigh that one negative one. And they say that the 5 positive interactions don't have to be big ones or big gestures. Even something like a smile or a joke is enough.
Oh, okay. So just kind of
what if you don't like the person? Like, you can't stand them breathing.
That was dark.
I think that this formula applies to people you want to have the happy relationship with. So if that's not the case, throw this out the window.
Yeah.
But if the people in your life, whether it's friends, family, really, you know, close coworkers, this would be helpful.
So for people like Wally, who like to push the buttons, who like to, you know, shimmy over the line and make people angry around him, but just because he's bored and he just wants to have a good time and make people around him angry, you're saying that you can have that one episode where you make someone angry, but then follow
five
it
nice
with
things.
Like 5 nice things.
And again, they don't have to be big. It's great if they are.
Yeah.
But they can be small.
I've heard like when you're going to give somebody like bad news or correction like in the workplace, you kind of give them like 2 positives and then a negative and then
like
you sandwiches. Yeah. So positive thing hey, you're doing a really great job. B, hey, I need you to work on this because, you know, this part of you is a little lacking. But C, you don't smell like you used to. So there you go.
Improvement.
Yeah.
Have you been told that?
No, but that I was working on it. I was working on Gavin's review.
Oh, man.
Sorry. He took
I'll take it.
Uplifting WayFM. This is The Wally Show. And there are things that you see that you're like, is that normal? Like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
If you have to ask, it makes you wonder,
But there are also things that people are like, yeah, this should be normalized. There shouldn't be any weirdness or any stigma to this. And you came across an article that kind of went through some of these things, right, Rock?
Yeah. So it was 10 uncommon things that should be normalized. One of those was eating out alone. So when I see someone eating out alone, like I've seen that at Cracker Barrel, I feel sorry for that person, sure. Especially if they're old, because then I think they're a widower and they just want some company. But maybe it's just someone that's single and they're like, I just want to go out. Yeah. And it's okay if I'm alone.
I had to get out of the house. I needed a minute to myself.
Yeah.
My wife's the same way. Like one time we were at a restaurant and she's like, I look over and she's just almost sobbing. I'm like, what'd I do? And she's like, it's not you. And she saw a little old man sitting there eating alone, but it looked like her dad.
Oh, that's hard.
And just everything flooded back about losing him and
bless
stuff.
Her heart. So yeah, I totally get that. Changing careers in midlife. So what? I don't think that's something that we should make common.
Midlife being like when you're middle of life?
I'm
like
just saying it's terrifying. When you get to my age and like changing up a career is a little scary, actually.
Yeah, but I think we should normalize it because then it wouldn't be as scary and maybe it would help people to chase their dreams.
Sure.
Another one is adult slumber parties.
Oh,
no.
What?
That doesn't sound like
we should normalize this because sometimes you just need to not be an adult anymore. Like it just gets tired.
Feels weird.
Like if you're traveling to a friend's house like a few hours away, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But like if you're in the same town and you're like, hey, you guys want to like sleep over?
Yeah.
That's not adulty.
Maybe
for like you girls, a girl's
like
night out.
Maybe it's more common for.
Done.
Now,
easy.
This is something that I think you and Gavin, you and Wally, y'all would agree on. Affection, platonic affection between men.
Oh.
Now, you two. Sure. You know, y'all. I know y'all both cry at movies and TV shows. You also exchanged best friend rings.
Right.
And maybe you want to make it more common.
We're both wearing them today.
More normalizing that you have platonic relationship.
Yeah. We should be able to ride a motorcycle together, the same motorcycle, without it being weird.
Yes.
Like with Gavin on the back.
I'm going to need some time to work on getting there. No.
Okay. Those are a couple examples. Are there other things that you can come up with that you think, you know what? This should be normalized. Maybe it's an experience from your own life that you're like, yeah, why do I feel weird about this? Or why is everyone looking sideways at me? This should be normalized.
Yeah. Sometimes you realize it's just this unspoken rule and you're like, why? Why is it an unspoken rule?
So 855-33-WAY-FM. That's the number. If you put that in your favorites, you can get right through when the phones get a little busy sometimes. But we love having you on with us. So 855-33-WAY-FM. We'll take yours now.
So Shelly, is there something you do that you think should be considered normal?
Married couples who choose not to have kids.
Oh, that is a real good one. Because there's a lot of pressure, you know, from parents are like, hey, when are you going to start giving us grandkids and things like that? That's
even
a really
friends.
Good one. Oh, yeah, even friends, exactly.
Now, Shelly, is this something that you have personally experienced?
I have a good married couple friend that doesn't have children yet. And everybody's always, why are you not going to have kids? They go across the country. They do whatever they want to do when they want to do it. They go around school vacations or holidays. They can go whenever.
Yeah, it's pretty great. They're empty nesters all the time, you know?
And I think that that's healthy. If you know that you don't want kids, then why welcome them in? Like, I mean, that's okay. And two, if you were really being honest with those people that are pressuring you to have kids, you'd be like, listen, I can sleep all the way through the night without getting woken up by a crying kid. Like, you're honestly, you're jealous of me right
now. You want me to have this kid so bad, how about you pony up some college money right now? And I'll knock this out.
Yeah.
Yeah, my one of my longest friends, I've known him for 30 years, never had kids. And he has a little thing we like to call in the business a bank account. And it's pretty substantial. Uplifting Way FM. This is the Wally Show. We play so many great songs, but we cannot play them all here on Way FM. That's why we do Time Capsule Tuesday. We pick a year, and then Betty, Gavin, and I each pick a song from that year that we like, and then you get to decide which of those three songs we play, taking us back in time. A little nostalgia for us here. I am going to go with an icon of Christian music, and it is none other than Stephen Curtis Chapman and his song, The Great Adventure.
Sure.
Anybody who has spent any time in youth group will do the song, maybe do some hand motions to it, and just start singing instantly.
And you still hear about it to this day. Yeah. Like, it's considered a legend.
All the way from 1992. Okay, so this is a great offering, I think. I think I'm going to win this today. But, Gavin, who are you putting up?
Okay, so this is a song, and as a guy born in 1995, knowing music before my time is like unconscionable to me, but I had this song on the first MP3 player I ever had, and it's Turn Up the Radio by Phillips Craig and Dean.
Turn up the radio.
Woo!
Yeah. Sing a song of sympathy. Turn up the radio.
I can see my grandmother listening to this, but not a kid on his iPod.
Oh, it was a great time. I was like 8 years old when I listened to it.
Turn up the radio. It's little fun. Redheaded Gavin. Betty Rock, you're not liking this at all.
Your face is...
Well, if you're going to judge it, you better have something good.
Well,
you better bring it strong.
I want to slow things down a little bit.
Okay.
I want to offer up for him the basics of life.
Oh.
We need to get back to the basics of life. A heart that is pure and the love that is blind.
Woo!
1992
was not a good year for music, I'm finding out. No, I get this one. I remember this song.
It's speaking some truth.
Yeah. Very slowly.
That's what it's doing.
Like, it's like dragging out. Like my heart will pause and then hit the downbeat. And then it pauses and hits the downbeat.
It is amazing to see the difference that we have made from 1992 to the year we are in
Come a
now.
Long way. And I'm glad. But it's fun to go back. So with that being said, you have a choice. You're going to make the decision. Do you want to hear Stephen Curtis Chapman, The Great Adventure, Turn Up the Radio by Phillips Craig and Dean, or The Basics of Life by For Him? Those are your three choices right now, and you get to make the call. 855-33-WAY-FM is the number. That's 855-33-WAY-FM. Lifting Way FM. This is the Wally Show with Time Capsule Tuesday. You have heard all the hooks, Molly. You've heard the best song from 1992, The Great Adventure by Stephen Curtis Chapman. You've heard Turn Up the Radio by Phillips Craig and Dean, and The Basics of Life by For Him. You are going to decide which of these songs we play. So what's it going to be?
The Basics of Life song, For Him.
No, that was Betty's choice.
Now, honestly, I wouldn't have gone with it, so please tell me why you're choosing it.
We grew up listening to For Him.
Our boss came in the middle of this and was like, if For Him wins, I quit.
And, no, he said for Phillips Craig and Dean.
Okay. I just wanted him to quit, I guess. Well, you have proclaimed it the winner today, and you weren't alone. We look at like how many people call and kind of keep track. For Him was the overriding winner of this Time Capsule Tuesday. So here we go. Back to 1992, The Basics of Life by For Him. And you have Molly to thank for this. Molly and Betty.
Thank you.
The page for a new day has dawned, and we've rearranged what is right and what's wrong. Somehow we've drifted so far from the truth that we can't get back home. And where are the virtues that once gave us?
I'll never forget taking my first compassion trip, and we went to Ghana, Africa. When we got there to the site, there was this little girl. She was 6 years old. I later found out her name was Vivian, and she would not let go of my hand. She followed me everywhere I went on that site. And later, I got to meet her family. I met her mother and her siblings, and they all lived in this little mud hut. I mean, it wasn't big at all. And when I looked at Vivian, she had the biggest smile on her face. And she was just happy to be there, just happy to be with us. And it made such an impact in my life that I wanted to sponsor her right then and there. Because of my sponsorship for Vivian through Compassion, I'm able to write letters back and forth with her. I'm now getting updated photos. And now I think she's even taller than me, which is crazy to think. But I'm also able to see how my sponsorship is providing the food, clean water, and other support that she needs and her family needs to live the best life possible. And I can only imagine now with the pandemic, war, and weather disasters, there are so many other families like Vivian's who are dealing with hunger. So maybe you want to make an impact and sponsor your own Vivian. Just click the Compassion banner when you go to wayfm.com.
Uplifting Way FM. This is the Rock Report with Betty Rock.
Judah is an 11-year-old little boy who had a rough go at it the first 8 years of his life. He was born with autism and actually lived with a breathing and feeding tube.
Oh, wow.
I know, that's pretty rough. Eventually, he got better and was able to live without the help. And in that, he picked up a hobby, playing the piano. So he found an old, small, beat-up keyboard in the basement of his family home, and he took to it pretty quickly. His family, they're immigrants from Ghana, and they couldn't afford to get Judah piano lessons. But despite that, Judah became a child prodigy, getting so good at playing this little keyboard that he found that he actually made the local news.
Basically, I listen to the song two times, maybe three, and then I like practice 3 hours a day.
Oh my goodness, that kid's so cute.
Wow.
I know. Like, that's crazy.
Well, a local piano tuner, Bill Mangusen, he saw the segment and was so impressed that he decided to pull the inheritance from his father that his father left him. So
what?
This man is not rich himself,
okay.
But he just loved the little kid so much. Pulled that inheritance money and bought the boy a $15,000 piano.
What?
Wow. Yeah, and not everything else on top of that, he is also paying for piano lessons for this little boy.
That's amazing.
I know. Videos went viral of the friendship that blossomed between Judah and Bill, that now Judah is getting offers to come and show off his piano talents on national television. So he's actually been asked to play on Kelly Clarkson's talk
show. Oh, that's kind of cool.
I know. So this little boy, he's going to go to Hollywood and show what he's capable of.
That'd be awesome if she would sing with him too, because she does like impromptu music stuff really well. Like, she's really good at it. Mm-hmm. And that'd be kind of a cool moment for him. That's awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, I know that has to really mean something to his family.
Yes.
Because, I mean, when they couldn't provide for their little boy, to see a stranger do it for them and love on him so well, that means so much to them. I know I've heard you say that when you see someone love on your own child, it's almost like they're loving on you as well.
Oh, yeah. I'd rather have somebody do something nice for my kid than for me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, there you go. That is your Rock Report for today. Thank you, Lady Rock. Uplifting Way FM, this is the Wally Show. Sometimes as an adult, it would be nice to go back to being a kid because you think, man, I didn't have a care in the world.
Yeah, no bills to pay.
No.
Man, that was nice.
You worry a lot more about things and a lot of big things too, and it's easy to be consumed by that worry. I remember 50 Cent, rapper 50 Cent, he was on with Oprah years ago talking about worry and faith. And it was kind of a surprising take on worry.
Either pray or worry. Don't do both. Like, if you're going to sit there and
that's really
say
good.
A prayer and then worry about it, now how does God feel about you?
And I always thought that was interesting, you know? It's like, if you give it to God, truly give it to God, but then we instantly, okay, God, you got this, and then we take it right back, you know? And I'm the worst at doing that. Well, maybe this will help you. There was this little 5-year-old girl who gave some advice about worrying. Her dad and her grandpa were stressing about work, and she just wanted to help out a little bit.
You don't have to worry about on Monday. Today has enough worries of its own. That's what God says.
That's what God says,
aww,
dummy. Like, that's so great.
That's so cute. And too, like, kids are so innocent, and sometimes you think, well, they don't know anything about the real world. They
right.
don't know what real life is. But sometimes, actually, they have a clearer idea of what it means, what it ultimately comes down to, than we do. Sometimes as adults, we just kind of mess it up.
Absolutely. The simplicity. She's like, don't worry about it. Tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Don't worry about it. That's what God says.
Just a little bit more sass.
Oh, yeah. So sweet, though. But I am curious, okay? Like, speaking of kids and kids having insight, I mean, that's why I think the Bible talks about have the faith of a child, because they just see things less convolutedly, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I am curious, have you ever learned something maybe spiritual from your kids? Like this little girl is like kind of telling her dad and her grandpa, hey, this is what it's about. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm. And I think kids are great for resetting us and reminding us of truth sometimes. And sometimes it's hard to hear from your kid, but sometimes it makes a lot of sense and it really lands. So has your kid ever kind of given you some wisdom that you as an adult were like, man, they're listening and I need to kind of behave more like them now in this moment? 855-33-WAY-FM. We love having you on the show. That's how you can get involved. That's how you can call anytime. 855-33-WAY-FM. Have you ever seen that in your own kid?
I have, and I got to recently witness it, and it was very touching and eye-opening for me. So at our school, we have 2 sixth grade basketball teams. So they had to play one another, and obviously one team had to win and one team had to lose. And unfortunately, her team was the losing team. But before the game, we prayed how they are teammates and they should think of one another as classmates also and not, you know, have this animosity. So I thought she'd be devastated at the loss because she doesn't normally take loss well. And before she went to bed, she said, you know what, Mommy? I'd rather pray to God and lose a game than not pray to God and win. Because it's God first, then basketball. And it really touched my heart that she was that mature about it.
You're like, oh, some of this stuff is seeping in. That's so good.
And it's got to make you feel good to know that you're teaching her right. Like you're doing something good as a mom.
And you know, this weekend I couldn't be at her game. And I didn't know until the parents told me she's the one that led the prayer before the game. And I can't be there tomorrow night to lead the prayer like I normally do. And they're like, don't worry, she's going to step up and lead for us because she knows how.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's so awesome.
I could use her at pickleball because we got some people that kind of forget that winning is not the only thing.
Like you.
I said some people, Rock. Trying to keep it anonymous, but thank you. What is some good wisdom that you got from your kid there, Julie?
My daughter, at 4 years old, we had broken down on the side of the highway and ran out of gas, and I was just in a foul mood. One of the first responders had come and helped us, and she said, Mommy, don't be mean. Just kill fire with kindness.
Oh, there you go. Kill fire with kindness.
She was 4 years old, and just ever since then, every day, when someone's in a hateful mood, or just in general, my parents, my family members, I'm always trying to be nice to the next person, even if they're being mean. Because your kindness, that little piece of kindness, goes so far in life.
It is funny, like the Bible talks about having an altercation with somebody, and by treating them well and giving them kindness, it says it heaps burning coals on their head. So not the reason you should do it, but it's just a little byproduct and a bonus.
Yes, it means so much to me for my little girl to say that, and just to say, Mom, God's got us. He's got us. He just wants us to be kind.
Well, there you go. It is the wisdom of children, and that's how we as adults should probably live our lives a little bit more. Well, Julie, thanks for being on the show with us today.
All right. Thank you so much.
So we're curious, Shanithia, what is some wisdom that you maybe got from your kid?
Wisdom that I got from my daughter was to have faith. Recently going through a divorce after 26 years of marriage, I'm having to start over and was just stressed about how am I going to do this and how am I going to afford to pay for things. And she saw me in my room crying and she was like, Mom, you know you just have to have faith, right? And I just look at her and I'm like, but you don't know what's ahead of me. And she goes, I know, but God knows. And you just have to have faith. And I'm just staring at her like, what do I say to that? Because that's what I've taught her her whole life.
Right.
But then I wasn't walking in it.
That's when you just send her to a room. Like, you don't know. And just send her to a room.
Right.
No, it's true, right, though. I mean, it's very convicting when our kids have a better insight than we have sometimes into our own faith. But boy, you're so glad that they do, right?
Yeah. And then the best part of it was for her to see how God worked everything out. Like, she knew, because I couldn't have done it. Friends couldn't have done it. It was totally supernaturally the Lord. And she just looked at me and when it all happened, and she's like, I told you, have faith.
Yeah, the victory laps a little much, isn't it?
Well, the podcast is over, but there's still the Aftercast. It's new stuff you didn't hear in the podcast. Be sure to rate us on iTunes, as well as connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Just search Wally Show. And if you'd like to join our Facebook group made exclusively for you potties, the link is in the description of this podcast. Thanks to Colorado Christian University Online and United Faith Mortgage for supporting what we do.